Every year at this time, Christians come together to celebrate the day the whole world changed. Every year we celebrate the wonderful miracle that has come to be known as Christmas. That's what we've gathered here tonight to do, to celebrate, to remember, to worship in awe and adoration. And on nights like tonight, we gather together and we sing and we read Scripture in order to be reminded. On nights like tonight, we're reminded of the wonderful story of Christmas. We're reminded of the journey of the wise men from the east following the star in the sky. We're reminded of the shepherds in the field, and we're reminded of the angels giving the birth announcement saying that the Savior has been born in Bethlehem. We're reminded that Jesus, the Son of God, was placed in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. But the story of Christmas doesn't start in a manger. The story of Christmas doesn't start with the angel. The story of Christmas doesn't start in the field with the shepherds. The story of Christmas doesn't even start with the wise men from the east. No, the story of Christmas actually starts in a garden. All the way back in the book of Genesis, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth. God simply spoke and said, "Let there be light." And he created the day and the night. He made the sky and the seas, the vegetation and the dry land. God made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the creatures of the earth. And God looked upon his creation and said, "This is good." And then, to cap it all off, God brought forth the crown jewel of his creation when he made man in his image. God merely breathed on a pile of dust and it became a man. And then God took a rib from that man and he fashioned it and formed it into woman. And he placed this man and this woman, Adam and Eve, in this beautiful garden called Eden. At the end of his creating, God looked upon his creation, and behold, it was very good. Now, in this garden, God had placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he commanded the man, he said, "Adam, I want you to look and behold this beautiful garden. Behold this wonderful creation that I've given to you. Be a steward. This is yours. Manage it. Live here. And you may eat of any tree in this garden. Except one. Adam, do you see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You may not eat of that tree. And if you do, if you disobey me," God says, "if you rebel against me, if you sin against me, the holy and perfect creator, if you so do that, you will die." God was clear with his instructions. But as we've seen even tonight in Genesis 3, Adam and his wife Eve disobey. They rebel against God's commands. They go their own way. On that fateful day, they ate. And in that one act, the world changed in an instant. Because with that act, sin entered into the world. Suddenly, God's perfect and beautiful creation that was full of harmony and peace, it was tainted. It was marred. It was blackened by sin. And just as importantly, humanity was tainted. Humanity was marred. Humanity became blackened by sin. You see, Adam represented us in the garden. Adam was the head of the human race. And so when he sinned, when he violated God's holy commands, he brought sin upon us all. So now, you and I today, as we've come into this world, we are guilty. We are born guilty before a holy God. All of us are in need of a Savior because of what Adam did that day in the garden. As a result of their sin, we read that Adam and Eve are banished. They are cast out from the Garden of Eden, and they face a curse. God curses them for their actions. They must be held accountable for this sin. But tucked away in the curse, there's a promise. There's a promise that God makes that some way, somehow, someday, someone would come from the line of the woman and would crush the head of the serpent. God made a promise that one day he's going to send someone to fix what had gone wrong with Adam. And Scripture teaches us that for generations, God continued to point forward to that promise. God had told Israel he would send a new and a better Adam. A new and better Adam is going to come, and he's going to be our new representative. Along the way, that promise that God made began to take shape. God made covenants with Israel through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God provided a Passover lamb and the sacrificial system. And he made a promise to the house of David. He sent forth prophets proclaiming that there's going to be a Savior who comes. And for generation after generation after generation, Israel waited longingly for the promise to be fulfilled. And all along the way, the Old Testament reminds us over and over and over again of our desperate need for a Savior. We need someone to come and put the world back into order. We need someone to come and bring light into the darkness of this sin-blackened world. And for generations, Israel waited. For generations, they cried out in desperation, longing for the promised Messiah to come. And then one day, the angel appeared. The time had finally come. The long-awaited Christmas was finally here. Because after thousands of years of waiting, after generations of desperation and longing and anticipation, the Christmas miracle finally happened. The long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was coming into the world. The infinite one became finite. The timeless one entered into time. The invisible one became visible. The Creator entered into his creation. The Word became flesh. God became man. This is the miracle that we celebrate tonight. This is the miracle of Christmas, the miracle that the promise of God, that he was so faithful to keep, that in his love for us, God would send his Son to this earth to be that new and better Adam, to fix what went wrong in the Garden of Eden and to restore the broken relationship between God and man, to bring salvation and peace to mankind. Several hundred years ago, the great reformer Martin Luther wrote a hymn reflecting on this called "From Heaven High I Come to You." The words of the hymn go like this: "To you this night is born a child, of Mary chosen, virgin mild. This little child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. Now let us all with songs of cheer follow the shepherds and draw near to find this wondrous gift of heaven, that blessed Christ whom God hath given. This is the Christ our God and Lord, who in all need shall aid afford. He will himself your Savior be, from all your sins to set you free." Tonight we celebrate the miracle of the birth of Christ. We celebrate the miracle of the incarnation when God became man. We celebrate the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us. But as we do that, as we celebrate this miracle, and rightfully so, we need to remember that the story of Christmas doesn't stop with Jesus in a manger. Because Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, he would go on to live a perfect life. See, whereas Adam sinned, Adam failed, he rebelled against God, Jesus didn't. Jesus was perfect, he was sinless. No, he didn't deserve it, and the greatest act of mercy and grace ever displayed in the creation of the world, Jesus went to the cross. He went to die the death that sinners deserve. Sinners like you, sinners like me. Because you and I are sinners, we deserve to die. We deserve the wrath of God to be poured out upon us. But it was in the great love of Jesus Christ that he went to the cross in our place. He went to be our substitute. So the wrath of God, instead of being poured out upon us for our sin, was poured out on him instead. So the Bible says that if we will repent, if we will turn, if we'll acknowledge that we do deserve that wrath, we have sinned against a holy God. But if we will turn from that sin and we'll place our faith in Christ, the Bible says that that payment that we owe has already been paid. And instead of the punishment that we deserve, we receive the gift of eternal life instead. This is why Jesus came. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus, the Son of God, came to be the Lamb of God. The Creator of the universe came to the earth to die for the sins of many. So while we celebrate tonight the birth of our Savior, let us remember why it is that the Savior was coming. So tonight, as we reflect on these things, we're going to transition in our service here to a time where we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And as we do so, we're going to remember and celebrate the reality that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our place. His body was broken for us. His blood was poured out for us. See, he came to this earth and he dwelt among us in order that he might die as our substitute. And because he died, we can have life in him. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating and remembering what happened not only on that day in Bethlehem, but also years later at Calvary. We reflect, we look back, we remember on what he did for us. We remember the waiting and the longing of the one who would come to accomplish salvation. But Scripture also teaches that as we take the Lord's Supper, we look forward as well. We look forward in hopeful anticipation, not of the day when he will come for the first time, but when he shall return. So when we partake here in just a moment, we proclaim his death until he comes again. So whereas for generations Israel longed for Jesus to come, so too now we long for Jesus to return. At this time, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward to prepare to distribute the elements. And I want to give you a little bit of an overview of just how we're going to do this. So if you're new to us, if you haven't done this with us in the past few months, I'm just going to give you a quick overview. So our deacons are going to have gloves and masks on, and in the name of social distancing, what we've done is we've placed the elements together. So you'll have two cups. The bottom cup will have a cracker in it, and the top cup will have the juice on top. And our deacons are going to go through individually. We're asking that you not reach in to the tray, but they will hand them to you. And they're going to go by and hand each one who is here tonight who wants to celebrate with us by doing so. Now, I want to remind you that this ordinance, this gift, was given to the church. It's given to believers. So if you are in Christ, if you've repented of your sin, you've been baptized by immersion, and you are in good standing at a gospel-believing church, either here or elsewhere, we want to invite you to participate. But if you're not, if you're unsure, if you don't know what any of this means, just indicate to the deacon that you would not like to participate, and they will pass right past you. Likewise, if you're listening online, I just ask that you would observe, just watch as we partake of the Lord's Supper here. Let me Let me pray for us as we begin to distribute the elements together. Let's pray. God, we come before you tonight with such gladness, with such joy, as we celebrate the coming of the Savior, as we remember, as we reflect on the miracle, the beauty, the wonder, the splendor, the awe of the coming of the Messiah, of the birth of the Son of God, the miracle of Christmas. God, likewise, as we do so, we remember that Jesus did not come to merely be the Messiah in a manger, but that he came to be the Lamb that was slain on the cross. God, as we celebrate tonight, help us to reflect, help us to remember, help us to contemplate the reality of the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice and the wonderful gospel truth of salvation by faith alone through your grace. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.